Okay, so 10 states and voting all over the country, but this GOP contest after Super Tuesday is no longer all over the map. What we saw last night is something of a clarifying process. Romney clearly the front runner now with questions, shall we say. Santorum clearly the conservative, but with a headwind. Gingrich a factor still, but probably not a player here. And Ron Paul living in some pool of voter anger around the country and statistical rounding error. You may differ with that analysis. We encourage you to do so. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or just go to thetakeaway.org. But well after midnight, Ohio was called for Mitt Romney in the least conclusive race of the day. Other results more predictable. Mitt Romney easily won his home state of Massachusetts. Newt Gingrich less easily but solidly took his home state of Georgia, his only win for the night. We're beginning to get a clearer indication of aggregate Republican enthusiasm in 2012. Mitt Romney also won in Idaho, Vermont, Virginia, and Wyoming. Rick Santorum took North Dakota, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. But step back for a moment. Is the Republican enthusiasm evidenced last night enough to motivate the GOP in November? And does Super Tuesday say definitively that only some version of Romney-Santorum as a ticket will bring out the full-court press against the two-term hoop dreams of incumbent President Obama? That's the question for Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, and Dave Weigel, Slate political reporter and MSNBC contributor. Todd and Dave, welcome to the program.
Hey, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So just step back for a second. We'll do the horse race and get the delegate count into this conversation. But what do you think a Super Tuesday says about the sort of aggregate power of the GOP to confront Barack Obama in November? Todd, you begin.
John, right now, to me, it says weak. That doesn't mean it can't get stronger, but right now it says weak and for a couple of reasons. Look at Ohio and just the map of who voted and where for Romney and Santorum last night. And it's an exact flip of what you would expect somebody like Mitt Romney, the front runner, needs to do in November against Barack Obama in Ohio. Romney wins in Cleveland and Columbus and Cincinnati and all of the counties ringing those places. Rick Santorum wins everywhere else, basically every exurban and rural county in Ohio. Now, in a general election, you know Barack Obama's winning in Cleveland and the surrounding area and in Columbus and the surrounding area. So Romney needs to do well in the exact places he did not do well last night. Now, that presupposes that all of those conservatives in those counties won't come out for Romney in November. They probably will, but the question is how strongly will they do so? Last night, most of those people were all for Santorum. And the only other thing I'll point out about yesterday is the White House. The White House had a choice yesterday. The Obama reelect had a choice yesterday. On Super Tuesday, when the day is about the Republicans choosing their candidate and watching Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum and the Republican message, to hang back, have meetings in the White House, do some presidential things off camera, and let the Republicans have their day. They didn't do that. In fact, the president scheduled a news conference, John, in the middle of the day. That tells me that the White House feels very, very good about how the president stands now, in contrast to the Republican candidates, Mitt Romney in particular. They didn't choose to have him sitting in the Oval Office on the phone with ambassadors. They chose to have him in front of the press so that his image and his statements will go, will at least be on the evening news right along with some of the Republicans.
So there's a takeaway. Confident White House, the big M for momentum for Mitt Romney, but the big E for enthusiasm, possibly for Rick Santorum at this point. Dave Weigel, what's your analysis?
Well, I think it's true that Santorum keeps proving he has more natural enthusiasm out there than Mitt Romney does, and it's recently discovered enthusiasm. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia now. I talked to Newt Gingrich, strategist last night. I talked to the key strategist for his super PAC, or I'm sorry, the super PAC that's not related to his campaign at all, although the head of it showed up at the victory party.
Oh, it's a total accident. That's a coincidence, Dave. Yeah,
just a coincidence. And they're convinced, you know, Santorum managed to become the media's darling. They can cut back into that by winning southern states next week. There is a angry conservative vote out there that doesn't like Mitt Romney, but it's still gettable. And as long as that conversation's happening, it's very good for Mitt Romney because he is able to win states closely, or at least deny delegates to people if Gingrich is in the race. I mean, we obsess over the colors on the map here. It looked for a while like Santorum had a chance to win almost every delegate in Oklahoma, but Romney and Gingrich both decided to spend time there, get above 20%, split the delegates. This can't go on forever, but I mean, Romney's actually proven to be pretty good at manipulating the map and cutting into the advantage that people who actually have enthusiastic Republican support have built for themselves.
Right, and Weigel, sort of Dave Weigel there, pointing out that here's where the advantage that Mitt Romney has in money and just cash comes into play. He can pull those delegates on the fringe, even in states that are strongly trending towards Rick Santorum. Let's take a look at the delegate count for a minute. Romney getting about 212 delegates last night. Santorum got 84 last night. Gingrich about 72. Paul at least 22. But that puts Romney at 415. That's more than all of his rivals combined. Dave Weigel, you can't say that Romney is anything other than a shoo-in for the nomination at this point. Yes or no?
Shoo-in is such a strong word. I think he is a strong favorite for the nomination, especially because he has two conservative opponents who refuse to get out and who both believe that they can grind this thing out and fight in Tampa if they need to. At least the Gingrich people are a bit more explicit about that. Look at the delegate count from last night. It's not something that can be repeated that far into the future, but Mitt Romney ended up winning on basically every delegate in Massachusetts, Virginia, and Idaho, and giving himself a pretty substantial lead for the night. I mean, basically, he's now got the kind of delegate lead over Santorum and Gingrich that padded Barack Obama's victory again over Hillary Clinton.
Exactly.
Made it possible for her to catch up.
Dave Weigel is Slate political reporter and MSNBC contributor. We're going to take a break and come back and talk about some of the taglines and the statements we heard last night. But Todd Zwillich, is this all about they've got to figure out on the GOP how to make a Romney-Santorum or Santorum-Romney ticket to get any of the pull from Super Tuesday to make it to November?
I don't know that it's necessarily Romney Santorum per se. That's always a possibility, of course. You continue to see a lot of talk about Virginia's Bob McDonnell, who has Santorum-like conservatism. John, you may be either gratified or angry to know that some reporter from CNN caught Sarah Palin on the way into voting in Wasilla.
I saw it last night, yeah.
Yeah, and asked her if there's a brokered convention, will she be on hand to solve it? And she said she would never close the door.
Well, she said she would never close the door to anything that helps America. So it was a slightly rhetorical response, but
well.
I take your point, and it got a billion tweets, that's for sure. Todd Zwillich, Takeaway Washington correspondent from Washington, and Dave Weigel, Slate political reporter and MSNBC contributor. We're talking Super Tuesday. Stay with us.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.